This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, forgive me if you've heard this before, but the Miami Dolphins are terrible. I know you've heard this before because everybody's talking about it. And everybody's talking about it because they're not only terrible after 2 weeks in the season, they are woeful. They're allowing 51 points in the first two games. They've only scored an average of 5 points in two games. They are a team that has been accused of tanking and looks like they are doing it. Now, I know. You don't have to hit me up on Twitter to remind me that they were playing the mighty, mighty New England Patriots. I get it. I understand. I wasn't expecting them to win the game or be competitive. Patriots, after all, were favored by 18 points. They won by 43. But it's the 43 that's concerning to me if I'm Roger Goodell in the NFL. What exactly is going on with the Dolphins? Are these accusations true? Because if I'm Roger Goodell, I have to look into this just a little bit. I don't have to do a big, huge public investigation. I don't have to go in front of the microphones, in front of the cameras to say, this is not going to stand. I don't know. I don't want to accuse a team of not putting out a fair product. But I also want to know, is there something going on here that I do need to know about? Because listen, the Miami Dolphins are not some FCS school just trying really hard to make a buck playing the big name programs. The Miami Dolphins are comprised of 53 of the best football players on the planet. And they don't look like an organization that can play the game. And that would concern me if I'm Roger Goodell. I know it's 2 weeks. It might be early. And there might be a whole bunch of things that they're working out. And the Patriots are a very, very good football team. And so are the Ravens. But if I'm Goodell, I look at this and go, come on. There's too many noises, too much noise around this team in terms of tanking out and rebuilding. And we can't have this in this league. This isn't the NBA. This isn't Major League Baseball. We give you all these opportunities to better your team right now. Now, while it may look good on the horizon, I'm not having a team purposely go 0-16, 1-15 because they like some quarterback coming out of college. That's what's going on with the Dolphins. If I'm Goodell, I want to find out. If they're just a bad team because they're a bad team, then let it be. But if there's something going on, find out about it.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's. Your thoughts on week two of the NFL? So the Giants lose to Buffalo. And by the way, the Bills now the best team in New York? Or the New York area? After they both beat the Jets and the Giants at MetLife Stadium.
Not bad.
Not bad. 2-0. Josh Allen likes being in Buffalo. They've got Cincinnati coming up this week. So the Bills are 2-0. But the Giants defense is not very good. And Eli Manning was okay. Not great, but okay.
Yep. You know what? Eli's doing what he's supposed to be doing right now.
Yeah.
He's not really hurting the team as long as the defense can step it up. Problem is, I mean, the defense isn't that great.
And now you've got sort of this chorus that's starting to brew about Daniel Jones and when is he going to take over the quarterback position and when does Pat Shurmur decide he's got to do this. And listen, we've been saying this pretty much since the draft, even before the draft, about Eli Manning's time with the Giants. It's a tough position to be in. It's not something I think the Giants are going to do lightly and cavalierly. In terms of exiting Eli Manning off the stage, right? Look, the Giants defense and some other problems that they have might get a boost with Daniel Jones, but they're not going to all of a sudden turn into this juggernaut football team. They know they've got some pieces they still have to fill in. So if you throw in Daniel Jones because they're 0-2, then you are shutting down the Eli Manning era in New York for good, barring an injury to Daniel Jones in which he comes back. But then that becomes it, right? Like, if you bring in Daniel Jones and name him the starter, then Eli Manning is forcibly exiting off the stage. Do the Giants want to do that, or do the Giants want at some point for him to gracefully exit off the stage, given the fact that he did bring two Super Bowl championships to the team? And, is going down in history as one of the better quarterbacks the Giants have ever had in their history, which is a long history. But do they say, okay, look, the struggles are real, or the team is not good, and we need a boost, so here comes the rookie, and we're going to put him in because he's better than anything Eli Manning's doing? Or do the Giants have to play this out? It's not easy. It's not as simple as some other quarterbacks in this league. You are going to be signifying the end of the era, and it's not something I think the Giants just want to do just nonchalantly and just go, oh, yeah, well, he's not playing particularly well, we're going to bring in the rookie. Because it's different. It's not a wake-up call for Eli Manning to get better, right? It's none of that. The moment they bring in Daniel Jones and name him the starting quarterback, his time begins, barring injury, but his time begins, and Eli's out. Now, we've always said this, right? Your time in the NFL comes way before you want it to be, but in Eli's case, that was always on the table this year. That was always the option this year. I'll take you back to his brother with the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning was injured and didn't play particularly well in the 2015 season, right? And Brock Osweiler replaced him and had the team spark the team to home wins and kept the machine going along. And then in week 17, Peyton Manning took the job back over when Osweiler struggled in the game against the Chargers, never gave it back up, and won the Super Bowl. But Peyton Manning knew that the clock was ticking, right? He didn't have the body anymore to go through an entire offseason of rehabilitation on some of the injuries and then come back and to do it all over again. So he exited the stage before the Broncos forced him to exit the stage. Now, in Eli Manning's case, he tried to come back for one more year because he's healthy enough to do so. He's not dealing with a lingering hip issue or his arm is surgically repaired or anything like that. He's a guy that's trying to keep his job, to play until his body absolutely can't play anymore. Or the Giants tell him he's not going to play for them anymore. And which is going to come first? Well, in this case, the Giants hold the cards, because the Giants can look at their season and say, look, we don't have a football team that's going to be competitive enough. Or they can say, well, we do in a way, because look, what do we need to make a run at a wild card late in the season, right? 10 wins, 9 wins. Well, what if we get those with Daniel Jones? What if Jones comes in and we do start winning some games? And what if our defense does play a little bit better, or we play some opponents that are weaker? We don't know what the schedule lays in front of us. We're not ready to give up after week two, right? If 9 wins, 10 wins is just enough, maybe not make the playoffs, but what if we're in the conversation for one in December, right? What if we're in the conversation where we're a team that is vying for one, and even if we don't make it, isn't that worth it? And can we do that with Eli Manning? Yes. Can we do that better with Daniel Jones? Maybe. And if they decide that doing it with Daniel Jones is where they want to go, then Eli's got to exit. And I don't know if they're ready to take that right now. I don't know if they're ready to do that. Look, they've got games coming up against the Buccaneers, the Redskins. They do have to play the Patriots, but they've also got, a rookie quarterback going up against a rookie quarterback in the Cardinals. They're going up against the Lions, and they had a good win against the Chargers. They're going up against the Jets. There are some winnable games. They're going up against the Dolphins and the Redskins again. There's some winnable games here for the Giants. But they have to determine, from the quarterback perspective, is Eli the guy that gets those wins against those teams, that puts them in a position to be in at least a conversation in sometime in December about a wild card? Or is Daniel Jones the better one? And when they make that decision, it's not going to be just a simple business decision. It's going to be taking a guy that won two Super Bowls and telling him, bye, goodbye, thanks for everything, goodbye.
I wonder if they can get away with, in some of these games, maybe in the fourth quarter when it seems like it's a little bit out of hand. I mean, I know they haven't really had a game like that. Well, they kind of did against the Cowboys.
Right.
Had a game where it looked like it was completely out of hand. This one didn't really look like it was completely out of hand. But I'm wondering if there's a way to kind of just say, let's just get him some reps and let's just see.
Yeah.
Just, Let's just get him on the field and see what it looks like. Because I would hate for them to be waiting on the, you know, on the sidelines, waiting for an injury to happen to Eli, or, you know, for him to be so horrible that it was like, oh no, we just got to pull him.
Well, the other thing too is that, you know, Daniel Jones had such a good preseason, but it, right. You know, you knew that it always came with the caveat of, well, we'll see. I mean, right? We'll see when it's game time.
Playing with the second team.
Right? Well, when he's out there against the first team and a team that's planning for him and all that other stuff, then we'll see where he's at. So if you're a Giants fan, you got to be thinking, man, I wouldn't mind seeing that pretty soon. I mean, he had such a good preseason. Does it play out that he can do this against first teamers? Maybe he can, maybe he can't, but I'm dying to know. Because Eli, I know. Like, Eli, I get. Eli is going to give me Eli. But Daniel Jones, what if he's really good? Or what if he struggles? What if he's like, you know, that preseason was kind of a fluke, and it wasn't really something we should have been all that high about given his level of competition? But if you're a Giants fan and you're 0-2 and it doesn't look good and your defense is terrible and it's giving up a ton of points, and all of a sudden you're thinking, well, the only thing I got to look forward to is the growth of my quarterback. And I'll tell you this, Giant fans, and you know who you are, you're in a more enviable position than a guy like me, who is a Steeler fan and watch Ben Roethlisberger get hurt, and don't, you know, I don't look at Mason Rudolph as the next second coming. I have no idea who the future quarterback is going to be for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if that guy is coming anytime soon, or the team is going to struggle after Ben leaves and they're going to be awful for 3-4 years. There is a quarterback in New York right now that people are high on, and maybe high on for the wrong reasons, and I get it. I absolutely understand. But at least there is a feeling like maybe, just maybe, he really is good. And he is good enough to play in this league. And the transition to Daniel Jones means a very bright future, albeit early struggles, because we all expect that, right? When you get a young quarterback, yeah, you're willing to put up, if you know he's good, you're willing to put up with some just off years of adjustment, right? When, you know, Peyton Manning went, 3-13 his first year? I don't think people in Indianapolis were like, oh, this guy stinks. I mean, people are like, no, he's going to be awesome. He's adjusting to the game, and we're going to have a real franchise quarterback under center. In New York, there is that feeling like maybe this guy is going to be a real franchise quarterback. In Pittsburgh, they don't know what's next. They don't know what's around the corner. Right? So in New York, you're kind of in an enviable position where your team's not very good, but you've got that one position, at least right now, theoretically, we'll see it in practice. Theoretically, you might have the right guy under center for the future. And I just don't know what the play is for New York on this in terms of Manning. What's the play? Is the play to figure out a way for him to gracefully exit, or is it just going to be harsh and there's going to be a moment where Pat Shurmur says, Daniel Jones is our starting quarterback going forward. It is now his football team. You know, maybe the Mannings are smart enough to go, dude, fake a hip injury or something. Just get out of this. So without, you know, make it look like they're making the move based on injury rather than performance. Because you're going to leave the stage. And this is, you want to leave the stage this way. Maybe that would be my advice if I was Peyton Manning. That's what my advice would give him. Do a hip injury and start throwing ducks and then come back and help him out later. But who knows? But it's a tough position for the Giants to be in. All right, again, NFL week number 2 on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and that's Ron with two N's. Also, 800-224-2000 for your thoughts on week 2. Did your team win, lose, disappoint you, excite you for the weekend that was in the National Football League as we roll along on SB Nation AM?
Hi, this is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. You know, I borrowed my wife's truck the other night. Naturally, it was raining. I quickly noticed that her wiper blades were pretty useless. Now, wiper blades are one of those things that you forget about until you need them. Now, if you haven't replaced your wiper blades in the last year, make a note to pick up a set at a discount store next time you go. Until then, go out to your car with a paper towel and some alcohol or glass cleaner, raise the wiper, wet the paper towel with the cleaner, and run it along the edge of the wiper. This will remove the road grime that has gathered there, and it's going to be really nasty. This should help the wipers work better until you can replace them, and I do this every month or two. Now, while you're at the store, get some of the good washer fluid, which helps the wipers cut the grease. You're going to thank yourself the next rainy night. Hope this helps. This is Mike Herz from Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more of my tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
At Jeep Adventure Days, you'll be ready to take on any forecast head on. And while some hide from the weather, you'll play surrounded by luxury in the Jeep Grand Cherokee. While others run away from the elements, you'll run toward them in the remarkably efficient Jeep Cherokee. While others see the weather as a foe, you'll see it as a friend in Jeep Compass, with over 70 standard and available safety and security features. And while others seek shelter, you'll find yourself right where you want to be, with nothing, not even a roof, standing between you and the weather, with the open-air freedom of Jeep Wrangler or Jeep Gladiator. Hurry in to Jeep Adventure Days for great deals on the most legendary SUV lineup. Jeep. When it rains, we shine. Jeep is a registered trademark.
Who's gonna drive you home tonight?
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, prepare for road trips before your travels begin. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. This is The Cars and their lead singer. How do you pronounce his last name? Okusek?
Olesek? I'm not 100% sure.
Rick Okusek. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I apologize. But he died at the age of 75 in his Manhattan townhome. You know what? I don't know. I didn't know his last name. I just knew the band as The Cars, and you know, as a kid growing up. But I know him best as he married the woman whose picture I had in my high school locker. Paulina Poroskova, the swimsuit model from Sports Illustrated fame. That's right. How I know him. He's also very thin.
Yes. Very so, bean Polish.
Very bean Polish.
As
very
they like
thin.
To say in the industry.
Yes. Like a super metabolism that I don't possess. But anyway, he died at the age of 75. And this is the weird thing. I don't know if my brain works like this and I just don't have a concept of time anymore. But it made sense that he's 75 years old, right? I mean, he was popular in the 80s. 35 years ago,
early
right?
80s too.
Early 80s. So when you really think about it, when you really process 2019 from when the Cars were popular, and all right, you go, all right, yeah, 75. I thought that was massively old, and I couldn't believe he was 75 years old. And I was like, oh my God, 75? What do you mean he was 75? I would have guessed 50. 55, not 50, but like 55, 60.
All right, just real quick. I think it's Okusek.
Okusek, okay. I really wanted to get that right, and there's no pronunciation online. I tried to look it up, and yeah, I just couldn't find it quickly enough. But nevertheless, I wanted to get that right because the Cars were a big deal when I was a young man. A young lad. They were a big, big deal.
They had some of the best music videos back when in MTV's infancy.
Yeah, and didn't he do a song called Magic where he was on top, walking on a pool, on top of a pool?
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Pretty sweet. So, but again, he married a swimsuit model. He married her for a long time, too. It wasn't like one of those flings. You know, where you see like, oh, they only married for like 5 years. They were married for a while. So, how long did Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley last? Couple of years, decade or so?
Yeah, I think so.
Long enough. It wasn't like, that didn't work.
I mean, they had a kid together.
They had a kid together.
I think they got two.
So, yeah. So anyway, swimsuit model.
Yeah, it's kind of sad because I think we're getting to that moment now where artists that we grew up with are going to start dying.
Yeah, and it's, and like Prince was shocking and a couple of others were shocking.
Yeah.
But like this one was, 75. I mean, it's a little young. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And today's but it's still 75, right? But it's still 75. If you lived to be 75, you're done good. It doesn't make it less sad, but, you know. Now I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, you're right. It's all of these 80s icons are not going to be in their 70s, 80s soon. And they're going to be clipping off. God, it's like, again, my brain doesn't process this very well. you know? Big Mac on Twitter, happy that my Chiefs, but cautiously optimistic. Defense hasn't been really tested yet, and I'm hoping that they stay healthy. AFC West is the best division in the AFC. Yeah, well, the Chargers, even though they lost, still very good. Broncos looked pretty good. Not super great, but they looked pretty good against the Bears. I think Flacco threw some nice balls yesterday. And when he threw to Emmanuel Sanders in the end zone to give them a chance to tie the game or take the lead, that at the end of the fourth, towards the end of the fourth, that was a great throw to the back of the end zone. It was a great throw. So the Titans, I watched most, if not all, of the Titans game. I got to be honest with you, man. Tennessee bothers me a lot. And a lot of it is because I'm local. I'm not a fan of theirs, but I, you know, obviously I get inundated with their news every single day living in Nashville, but they're not a good football team. Their offense is just boring. I'm sorry, it's boring. And Derrick Henry's good. When Derrick Henry has the ball, he's a good player. But Marcus Mariota, it's dull. They had the trick play for the touchdown to Quisenberry, who used to play for the Texans. He came back from cancer, and he scored on a special teams play. That was great. But other than that, it's dull. It's not electric. It's not exciting. You don't get the feeling. Like, when they had the ball with a chance to move down the field to kick a field goal, I knew they weren't going to do it. They're just a mismanaged hodgepodge. And it's sad because they came off of week one where everyone in Nashville was saying after week one, and I kid you not, you would think after they beat up on the Browns and scored 21 points in the fourth quarter in that game, I will tell you, the conversation in Nashville the entire week was, well, Mariota still did some bad things in that game, right? He threw three touchdowns. But they're still, they're looking at him so differently based on that fifth-year option kind of deal. But he didn't do himself any favors because the critics were already saying, look, I don't care if you beat the Browns by a million and look, you know, offensively produced, you know, these touchdowns. We still saw enough decisions that you made in that game that has us concerned. And then, oh, by the way, against the Colts, we saw a whole bunch of decisions that you made that has us concerned. And Jacoby Brissett threw three touchdowns in that game against the Titans. And their defense did pretty well, too. But it was a boring game. It's really dull. But so they're not good. Steelers aren't very good. Ben Roethlisberger is going to get an MRI today. That wasn't very fun. Seahawks, that's a good road win. I don't care if Ben's out. That's a good road win. Pittsburgh's a tough place to play. That's a good road win. Seattle, that they should hang their hat on that one. What's up with the Chargers? Now, how the heck did that happen? I don't want to give too much credit to the Lions, do I? Am I going to roll that way? By giving the Lions that much credit? I guess I should. But nevertheless, the other games that I was, you know, looking at were Arizona, Baltimore, the Ravens go to 2-0. Kyler Murray, I'd pay money to see Kyler Murray play. I really enjoy watching him play. He looks like he's fun. They look like they're not going to win a ton of games, but fun. Jacksonville, Gardner Minshew leads Jags on a touchdown late in the game. They decide to go for two. They give the ball to Leonard Fournette to get the two-point conversion. Leonard Fournette is a beast, an absolute beast. And he is running into the end zone, and Justin Reed of the Texans, who is about, I don't know, 50 pounds lighter than Leonard Fournette, stops him short. And the Texans go on to a victory. And in case you missed the Gardner Minshew wardrobe leading up, it was great leading into the game. Go check it out. Look online. He looked like a 1970s, I don't want to say it, but 1970s, you get the image, Gardner Minshew. The Green Bay Packers beat the Minnesota Vikings again, 21-16. The Dallas Cowboys go to 2-0. These, you know, some of these games were not predictable, but, you know, fit the narrative of what we've got so far. And then I thought the game of the weekend was supposed to be the Rams and the Saints. Once Breeze was out of the game, there was a little bit of, you know, obviously the lackluster of that game was taken out. The bad call that where the Saints scored a defensive touchdown and got called back because of an inadvertent whistle was a bad, bad move. But the Rams, look, if Drew Brees isn't playing, you win by double digits. Drew Brees wasn't playing, they won by double digits. All right, the good, the bad, and the dub coming up next.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good. The bad and the dumb. Week two in the NFL. College football, whatever else went on this weekend. What's the good today?
The good of the day is we got to give it up to Georgia fan.
Yeah, we do.
Georgia fan, you know, it was a game that we knew Georgia was going to win. And, you know, everyone knew that Georgia was going to win. But Georgia decided, you know, let's take it a step further. They were playing against Arkansas State. And if you remember, Arkansas State's head coach, Blake Anderson, stepped away from the game, what, like a month ago, season?
Yeah, right.
Before the season was to begin, or just a few weeks before the season began, because he wanted to be near his wife. Well, his wife, unfortunately, she did end up succumbing to breast cancer. And, you know, we all want to say F cancer. And but Georgia fan decided to, you know what, we're going to celebrate this as much as possible, and did a tribute to his late wife.
Yeah, it was a really, really touching moment. They had a number of players wearing Remember Wendy on the, like, with the letters.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of them lined up. It was a – listen, I can't stand Georgia.
I know.
But that's just a fun little rivalry that I have, you know, having gone to South Carolina. But I loved this, and I give them all the credit in the world. I think Athens, and I give this – listen, I don't like Georgia because South Carolina, but – I've always thought Athens is a fantastic venue for college football. It, between the hedges, it's a wonderful, wonderful location. It's a beautiful campus, wonderful location. Arkansas State plays out of the Sun Belt. They were getting paid to go get beat up by the Bulldogs as a warm-up game before the conference schedule, even though they started with Vanderbilt. But the fans knew this story, knew about this story. There was a social media buzz to have people go to the stadium to wear pink in remembrance of Wendy Anderson. Again, you're right about Blake Anderson, the head coach. He took time off to be with his wife. That story was really sad because it was an initial story that said Blake Anderson is taking a leave of absence to be with his ailing wife while she goes through treatments for cancer.
Yep.
I didn't know she was on her left because she died like a week later.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knew. I don't,
right?
Well, I'm certain there were people who knew, maybe the Arkansas State circles, they kind of knew that this was
right.
It.
Right.
But yeah.
So he more or less went to be with her as she was living out her final days. I was kind of thought, oh, he's got to be with her while she goes through all these treatments and
yep.
all this other stuff while she tries to battle cancer. But it was more or less like she was on her, you know, on her last
got a week left
days.
I'm going to spend my week with her. I don't want
right.
to spend it.
And that's what made the story so incredibly sad was that it was just like, oh, he went to go be with her as she was dying.
Yep.
Rather than trying to recover. And so everybody's heart went out to him. It was a national story, even though it's Arkansas State. It still was a national story. And Georgia took that and ran with it as much as they could. And it was unbelievable.
I mean, the entire stadium looked pink.
Yeah, it was a great tribute.
That was cool. That was just everyone's wearing a pink shirt. I mean, the amount of body pink, the pink body paint in Athens, Georgia, it's sold out. Guaranteed.
Exactly.
Or, you know, even red and white. It's got to be sold out in body paint.
And Blake Anderson, head coach Anderson, was overwhelmed with emotion seeing that from the Georgia fans and was very humbled and very gracious.
Tried
so
really hard.
Very good.
He said he tried really hard not to get emotional.
Yep.
But you know what? I don't care who you are.
Oh,
you can be the hardest man on the planet. You see that, you're just... Sorry.
Georgia, very, very, very good job. Can't say it enough. Very good. Very good, good. So then what's the bad?
Well, the bad of the day, and it's not necessarily a bad. I'll get to how this is bad, but it's the legend of Garden Minshew.
Gardner Minshew.
I don't know if you saw, I'm talking to you people out there, saw his look coming off a plane.
I loved it.
It is fantastic. The problem I'm going to have with it, and this is why it's bad, it will probably be the number one Halloween costume this year.
Yeah, good point. That's a great point. Yeah. Now, he looked like a porn star because
he looked like he was more ready for Studio 54 than he was
that
for a
been
football
it.
Field.
Yeah. You know what I was hoping?
Owned it.
I was hoping. Here was the deal. I was praying that, because I saw it on Twitter and I saw everybody saying, this is great, this is great. Everybody was retweeting it, loving it, just absolutely just kind of showering him with praise for the look because it was so cool and so different. But I was so afraid that somebody like Jacksonville Insider was going to go, by the way, guys, this is a rookie hazing thing. They made him wear this.
No.
You know,
no,
I was so afraid of that story being, no, this is what the veterans are making the rookie do on the first road trip. Cause I wanted it to be Gardner Minshew. Now I haven't seen that story. So it's Gardner Minshew. It's totally Gardner Minshew.
There's a little bit more to his story.
All right, go ahead.
Apparently during pregame workouts in the, you know, in the locker room area, he does it in a jock strap. That's it.
This guy's awesome.
Yeah, I'm loving him. The bad part is that I want him to just have that look, and I have a feeling we're just going to see it everywhere for Halloween.
By the way, if he becomes a legit starting quarterback, like, you know, has a job,
he will. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Maybe. Going to.
Okay. I mean, listen, you didn't even know who he was last week.
I still don't even know how to say his name this week.
But he's got an incredible story that I think becomes a fun comedy movie. Like, literally, Mike Leach was saying, come here and play football. He's like, I don't know. Like, come on. Come play football. He was like the nation's leading passer last season. He was going to be a grad assistant at Alabama. And Mike Leach of all people, like, no. Come all the way up to Pullman, Washington and sling it up here for me. He's like, all the way up there? All right. He goes up there and he becomes a Pac-12 legend and now an NFL starter. God bless him.
That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, you're right. It is going to be the best. It's going to be the Halloween costume.
That's the only thing. That's the only bad part of it, is that we're going to be seeing people who can't pull the look off trying to pull the look off.
That's right. That's right.
The dumb of the day is Iowa State v. Iowa.
Saw this too.
The marathon game that lasted 10 hours, 12 hours. I don't know. It may still be going, actually. So many delays, so many weather delays, but the dumb part goes to the students who stormed the field during the lightning delay.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's dumb, but I know for a fact how dumb it is because I would have been on the field doing that too.
Probably.
And that's how I know that it's dumb.
Not I, because I am definitely afraid of lightning, but if I had any young man's fortitude, I probably would have done it. So, but yeah, boy, that was a very long game. What was it, six?
I don't know.
It's 6 hours, and
see the thing. The problem
a delay
with,
of like 5 hours or
the
something.
The problem with lightning is that you have to wait 30 minutes after the last lightning strike.
Yeah, and you don't know when the last lightning strike is coming.
And you can get to 29 minutes 45 seconds.
Yep,
and ready to take the field. Lightning strikes again nearby within that certain radius. You got to wait another half hour.
Is there anybody comfortable in lightning when they're outside?
No.
I don't think so. My wife grew up in Florida, and she's used to a lot of lightning. So when we're out and about, and like we're in a store, and we go out of the store, and there's a storm coming, and there's lightning, she walks to the car with ease. I have a little jump in my step. Like, I'm going a little faster than she is. She's like, and I go, you are not, do not tell me you're calm in this stuff. Come on.
You know,
this is God's dart game, for crying out loud, and I'm not going to be on the losing end.
I would say maybe park rangers.
Maybe. Yeah, because they're always like, yeah, you know, what are the odds? Yeah. I know the odds, and I still don't like being outside in a lightning storm. Yeah, I hate it.
I know I have a better chance of winning the lottery. Or is it the other way around?
I think it's the other way around. But still, I hate it. When I'm walking to my car, like in a parking lot, or I'm just outside, and I look and I see a bolt of lightning in the sky, not just a flash, like a real bolt, I freak out. I'm like, get me to grounded. Are you kidding me? I'm not doing this. I'm not going to get charred alive by a lightning bolt. Now, here's the deal. If I wake up with superpowers, I'm cool with that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so if I wake up from a bolt of lightning knocking me out, and all of a sudden I can fly, or I can melt things with my eyes, all right, then I'm cool.
How about if you could shoot lightning out of your hands?
That would be fine, too. I don't mind
there
that.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Whatever superpowers the lightning bolt wants to give me, I'm totally cool with that. But in most scenarios, that plays out with me being dead, and I don't like that, so I don't like lightning. So well, I don't want to be part of it.
Yeah, you know, you'd be resurrected, and then you'd have eternal life.
That's probably true.
They couldn't kill you from that moment on.
That's right. I'd be like the Watchman. I'd be like Dr. Manhattan. Yeah, the watch.
But I mean, I don't. There's video. You see the kids, the students storm the field, and then they're running down the field, sliding head first on because it was hailing at the time too.
Yeah, nice.
And I'm just looking at that. I'm like, two things were going through my mind, and this may be old man me coming in. You know, one was like, you know, that's kind of stupid because you're all going to get struck by lightning. You're all going to die. You know, wipe out half the student population right there. The other thing I started thinking about, isn't that tearing up the field?
Yeah, yes, I mean, it is.
You know, and that's where I know I've made the transition from, you know, being a student, being young, to that's really going to have, we're on the grass. These kids still need to play football out there.
It's really funny how that, it really is funny how that transition happens. Because when you're young and you hear old people talk like that, you're like, how in the world in your life did you get to be so cynical?
Exactly.
And just a killer of good times. And then all, it doesn't come with, it just comes. It just eventually creeps in. And next thing you know, you're like, you kids stop having fun and laughing. Yeah. Don't do that. You're ruining the fun. Ugh, I can't take this anymore.
I'm seriously watching this video thinking about the maintenance crew.
Oh, I know.
You know, feeling bad for them. Like, you know, good people worked hard to get that field in pristine condition. And they're going to have to work hard again because the storm looks nasty.
Exactly.
But you guys aren't helping it out. Just running out there, body, you know, belly flopping onto the grass.
I'm so worried that when I get really old, I'm going to be that guy that goes into a restaurant and the waiter is going to forget like my salad or something, and I'm just going to lose it.
Or even
think
worse,
it's the biggest deal on the planet.
Even worse, you're going to think you requested something
right.
And you didn't.
Yeah,
but you still are going to stick to that point. Like, no, I know I said extra onions.
I thought I ordered the fish, and they go, no, 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 sir, you ordered the prime rib. You said prime rib. I said fish and chips. And then people at the table are like,
Sir, we don't even sell fish.
Yeah, I know, right? My family's looking at me like, Dad, you ordered the prime rib. I know you did. Stop. That's me. I know that's coming. I know that's coming. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. But then you do get to that point where you get your excuse from having no filter.
That's true.
That point will be outstanding.
Yeah, that's right.
Where you can just complain and everyone's be like, well, you know, he does have a point. He's old.
Yeah, that is point. Yeah. He's exactly.
when you are that old, you will complain about Gardner Minshew costume.
I know. That's right.
That costume's not going away, by the way.
No, it is not.
It'll be the hottest thing this year, but someone's going to resurrect it 5 years from now. We're going to be like, oh, yeah.
I'd wear it, but I don't wear it well, so I'm not going to be wearing a Gardner Minshew costume.
And that's why it's bad. That's what I'm afraid of.
That's right. You're right. A lot of those of us who would not wear that well, wearing that for Halloween, right? Should not be doing that at all. That's right. All right, that's the good, the bad, the dumb on a Monday on SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. And we don't want to forget about the passing of Eddie Money.
No.
That was sad as well.
So that's two.
That's two. So that's right. There's one more coming, right?
Usually. We went with two artists, music artists, so it's got to be a music artist, right?
Is that the rule?
I don't know.
Is it like if a movie star, it's got to be a movie star? Is that the rule of three?
I'm making up the rules as we go.
Yeah. That's what I would do. So, Eddie Money. I liked Eddie Money. I had a few of his albums as a young man. Yeah, it is. Really. It really is.
You're not bopping your head right now. There's something wrong with you.
That's right. The Titans game yesterday, we had paid tribute to Steve McNair and Eddie George. They are in the Titans Hall of Fame. But before the game, did you see this? There was a pyrotechnics accident?
I heard they paid tribute to the Miami Dolphins.
Uh-huh! because they did these pyrotechnics that are on the field usually go off without any problems whatsoever.
None.
Not in Nashville, where it was like, by the way, Spiro Dedis and Adam Archuleta, who called the game for CBS, could not stop talking about the heat because it was over 100 degrees on the field.
Ooh.
They talked about the heat every chance they could get about how hot it was. And it got hotter because the pyrotechnics mishap caused this huge fire on the sidelines. This huge fire.
My favorite part of it is that guy walking around with a small can of the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, trying to put out this big blaze.
Like, you know what? You should have just grabbed a bucket of water and gone to town, bud.
Oh.
It had the same effect.
I know. Like, it looked like a Bugs Bunny cartoon where Bugs Bunny takes, like, a cup of water to, like, this big fire, and he's in that oversized fireman's outfit. It was a raging inferno. And black smoke is coming, just pouring out of the side of the sideline. You know, at one point, I thought, wait a minute. I was like, I know that's not on the field, but that's on the sideline. Is that safe? For like a running back to run on, like going out of bounds and stuff. I was like, that tore that turf up.
Oh.
That, I mean, it was so bad. It was so bad. They put it out. No one was injured, but it could have been bad. I mean, it's hot. It's really hot. And I was worried that pieces of it were going to go into the crowd, catch, you know, because, you know.
Smoke inhalation.
Smoke inhalation.
That was thick. You couldn't even see behind it.
It really was. I mean, pyrotechnics mishap. Oh.
But I'll be honest with you, when I first saw that, I thought that was at Miami.
Yeah, that's right. Miami just taking the whole team and just lining it up.
Going, yeah, you know what? Everyone's getting involved.
That's right. SB Nation Radio.